Welcome back to the Roundtable. This listener essay by Elizabeth Grace is entitled Party of One.
At the popular main diner, my answer to the question, how many in your party, earned me a seat way ahead of the waiting crowd, which got me thinking about widowhood and the occasional benefit it paradoxically bestows. Widowed almost 7 years ago, I did not initially claim that status. If marriage was a term reserved for the union of one man and one woman, as it was in New York in 2006, might not widowhood also be reserved for the state resulting from the death of one of those partners? Australian folk singer Judy Small wrote No Tears for the Widow around 1990, contrasting society's compassionate reaction to her father's death with the absence of shared grieving and support for her lesbian friend Amelia when her partner died. As Small sang, both her mother and Amelia were women who had lost their loves and must carry on alone, yet only one loss was publicly recognized and honored. Marriage was, she sang, a special word and only meant for some. During my partner's final illness, I did not experience the often reported institutionalized cruelty of exclusion from her medical treatment. After she died, I received loving support which affirmed our relationship of over 30 years, yet there were ambiguities. How should I or others refer to her? How had we referred to each other in life? Friend? Too generic. Lover? Too intimate for everyday use. Spouse? Too legalistic. Girlfriend? A ridiculous term for two women well past 60. I settled on partner, despite its implication of a purely business relationship. Close friends knew what we were to each other, but still stumbled over how to describe us. Sometimes I did too. Widow is derived from the Latin word meaning bereaved, and widowhood seems an appropriate term for the condition in which man or woman, straight or gay, finds him or herself after the loss of a partner of many years. All survivors face the same busy work of death certificates and obituaries, the planning of memorial gatherings, the notification of friends, distant family members, beneficiaries, attorneys, banks and insurance companies, the IRS, professional associations and periodicals, and on and on. Then there are the personal tasks of the bereaved, coming home to an empty house, vacated by the person with whom one has shared jokes and gossip and decision-making, prepared and eaten 1,000 meals, bickered over unimportant differences of opinion. Everything must be accomplished with an aching heart and a depleted body. It can seem as if there is little time to grieve, but perhaps all these activities are what we mean by grieving, necessary steps to the achievement of a new homeostasis. Friends and acquaintances may help or hinder the process. Those who acknowledge the severity of the loss help most. Those who, in their own unease, ask questions seemingly devised on another planet, help least. Will you stay in the house? I was asked within days of my partner's death. Leave my home of over 30 years, rich with the evidence of our shared tastes and travels? It was unthinkable. Do you think you'll find a new partner? Was another question which perhaps reflected the discomfort of the questioner rather than recognition of the loss. True, I occasionally feel a kind of envy on seeing an obviously happy couple hand in hand, but the thought is fleeting. However perfect or otherwise the lost relationship has been, and every relationship has its flaws, the longevity which both tested and proved the strengths of its members is difficult to replicate. My widowhood is now 7 years old. Discovery of a scrap of familiar writing still makes me catch my breath. A beautiful fall tree or a good book makes me want her beside me to share my pleasure. Embarking on a new enterprise has me wishing for her encouragement. Once and once only I heard her voice. She is often a presence in dreams. Death does not altogether erase a life shared. So I felt sad and happy both as I sat down, a party of one, to order my meal at the diner where we had often eaten together.
Elizabeth Grace is a semi-retired clinical social worker, writer, birder, and gardener who has lived in the United States since 1972, but who has deep roots in England and Scotland. She now shares her home in Columbia County with Cole, a Welsh corgi whom she trained as a therapy dog, and Molly, a polite, blue-eyed cat. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.